Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind, to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Lamentations. The Old Testament book of Lamentations, we find our way in Lamentations chapter 3. Remember that Lamentations is the funeral dirge, that Jerusalem has been destroyed in 586 BC. Jeremiah the prophet is walking around and he's giving an observation of what the judgment of God looks like, what the judgment of God sounds like, what it feels like, what it is like to be there as an eyewitness. In Lamentations chapter 3, we are witnessing that Jeremiah himself is also under this judgment, that he is not immune. He doesn't have a special bubble that protects him, that he is going through it as well, as he gets to be an eyewitness of this account, to record it, to see how awful the judgment of God really is. As we continue with Lamentations chapter number 3, we now start going towards deeper into this chapter. Notice with me, if you don't mind, Lamentations chapter number 3 and verse number 31. Lamentations 3 and verse 31. It says, "For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. To crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth not. Who is he that saith, and it shall come to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? Out of the mouth of the Most High God proceedeth not evil and good. Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us set up our heart with our hearts, hands unto the God in the heavens. We have transgressed and have rebelled, we have not been, or hast not pardoned. Thou wast covered with anger and persecuted us. Thou hast slain and hast not pitied. Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud, that our prayer should not pass through. Thou hast made us as the offscouring and refuge in the midst of the people. All our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Fear and a snare has come upon us, and desolation and destruction." And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, notice a phrase that we find in Lamentations 3, Lamentations chapter 3 and verse number 41, where it says, "Lift up our heart with our hands." Lift up our hearts with our hands unto God. And with this, we're going to see this idea of truly worshiping God and getting a hold of God, that we're lifting up our hearts with our hands unto the God in the heavens. As we explore this passage, we know that that there's a lot of people today that give lip service to God. In the book of Revelation, it describes the Antichrist and when he takes over, that one of the things he's going to require is everyone to take the mark of the beast, a 666 on their hand or their forehead. Do you know that in those days, you could take that mark and not truly worship the Antichrist? All you have to do is do a lip service. All you have to do is check the box. All you have to do is get that mark, and you could do whatever you want. You just have to take that mark. Well, in order to worship God, it is not just lip service. It is not enough just to say, "I'm a Christian, I go to church, I do all this stuff." That is not how it works. It requires true worship. It requires us being able to go to God and get a hold of him, to be able to serve him correctly. Pastor Sexton had told a story, an amazing story, when he was a pastor in Lenoir City, Tennessee, that he said he was out in the church parking lot, and then all of a sudden an 18-wheeler just came barreling down the road and just turned into the parking lot. And of course, it came with such a rush that he was very curious about this. In the middle of the day, it wasn't on a Sunday, it was in the middle of a day. And so he went up to the driver. The driver came out in just a panic and came rushing out and said, I just found the first church I possibly could, and I went to. I need someone to pray. There was an accident up the road. There was a young man in this accident. He says, I know I'm a Christian, but I'm not right with God, and I can't get a hold of him. I needed to get a hold of someone who could pray and talk to God right now. That says a lot. There's a lot of people who give lip service. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I go to church. But if it came time that you really had to get a hold of God, could you? Could you break through and be able to get a hold of a God and say, God, it's an emergency. I don't have time to get right. I need to be right now to talk with him. Our prayer life is very much dependent on us and our relationship with God. If we look at him as a relationship, as a fellowship with a heavenly father, just like any other father, if you could imagine my son, no matter what happens, he's always going to be my son. Amen. My relationship doesn't change, but there may be time that my fellowship is off. Let's just say that he'd been stealing from me, and then let's just say that he came and slapped me in the face, and then turned around and said, Dad, can you pay for something? Do you think I'd be inclined to do such a thing? No. Not at all. Because our fellowship is not right. Even though I'm his father, that fellowship needs to be restored in order for us to have that type of thing. There's so many people that do not have the right fellowship with God. They're not right with God. And if it ever came time to an emergency, it never came time where they really needed to get a hold of God, they could not. Because they were not right. There was something in between them. Christianity, true biblical Christianity, is not just something you give lip service to. It is all about a relationship and a fellowship with a real God. And so many people could not get a hold of him. You ever wonder why? We give lots of prayer requests, and rightfully so. But there are sometimes people give prayer requests because they cannot get a hold of God themselves. They're passing off because they need someone. They recognize that something beyond themselves. They need someone to get a hold of God, but they cannot because they don't have that fellowship secure. As we go to the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, this becomes a lot of the heart of this section here, is that we need to be to the place where we can lift up our hearts. Lift up our hands to praise in the midst of it. Remember, Jeremiah is under the judgment of God. All of Jerusalem is. He is receiving the same punishment that came upon the land that he was at. By the way, if the judgment of God comes upon America, we are not immune. We will go through those things as well. There is no promise in the Bible that says that we're going to be protected in nice little bubbles away from everything else. And by the way, the land that we live in is worthy of judgment. Yes, because we've drifted so far away from God. And it's as if a lot of times Christians don't see how close we are to that judgment of God coming. And when the judgment of God comes, could you still maintain a fellowship and a relationship with God? And the answer for many people is no, because they don't have one now. It should be at the place that any time we could talk to God, at any time we could commune with God, we could worship God and it's not awkward. It is amazing to watch people in church services. You know why a lot of church people can't sing? Because it's not because of the ability, it's because their heart. I can't talk to God. I don't mean it. There's something in it. I just feel blocked. Some people have a hard time praying out loud. And it's not because they're not right. It's not because they haven't been taught or whatever else. There's times that it just says there's something blocking. I could say words and nothing's connecting. It just, there's a distance. There's something there. We're going to dive into this a little bit more, but here's an illustration that I've always seemed to use that's been a help. Every time we sin, the Bible gives a picture of dirt. And if you can imagine a piece of glass in between us and God, just in my own imagination, a piece of glass. And every time we do something wrong, we get that glass suited up a little bit, just a little bit more dirt, just a little bit. Well, after a while, you can't see through it. It is blocked. It is hindered. And to try to pray through that glass, to try to that's covered up, and you can't see through it, and you can't, the person back, you can't, there's a hindrance there. That in order for you to have that clear fellowship, you need to clean that glass. It needs to be so there's nothing between me and the Savior. But again, so many people are not looking up. They don't see how bad that glass is stained. They don't see how dirty that glass really is. And when they come to the time where they really need to get a hold of God, they look up and they can't see God. God seemed distant. Now in this illustration, God hasn't moved at all, but our perception of him is blocked. Not because of God, but all that dirt and soot is on our side. It is hindered. If you needed to get a hold of God right now, could you? Do you have that clean, clear access between you and the Savior? Well, let's explore this thought as we examine this and see that God is searching for a people who will pay the price in their personal life to be able to get a hold of God, to be able to talk to him when it is needed, when it's necessary, that they've already developed the habit, that things are clear. First thing that we find is that we must confess our sins to God. We must confess our sins to God. What is the one thing that keeps a distance between us and God? Sin. Sin. We cannot, as I do that illustration, by the way, it's been something that's been in my head for 30 or something years. I had it as a young person. It was something that always kind of helped me as an illustration with my prayer life with God, talking with God. My sin keeps messing it up. Well, if I'm going to make it clear, I need to wash it. How do we wash it? We confess our sin. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How do I wash it? I confess. Now, let's cover the word confess. That word confess, some people have a misnomer about it. They have the idea that I'm telling on myself. No, confession means I agree with God with what he already sees. God already sees it. People have a hard time confessing because they don't want to admit that they're wrong. They don't want to admit that what I did is wrong. Even if they clearly saw it was wrong. It is amazing to watch court transcriptions, to watch people who are on death row, to hear those interviews of people, and how even though it was very clear they did it, they refuse to admit that they're wrong. They will not confess. They will obfuscate. They will blame someone else. They were whatever else. Again, forgive the turn a little bit. One of the things that frustrates police officers is that nobody admits that they did wrong. It's someone else's fault. Why'd you kill that guy? Well, you don't understand. They brought me to it. Just admit that you did it. No, I didn't do anything wrong. What do you mean you didn't do anything wrong? Amen. To watch kids steal from a candy store. We had a girl, underage girl, who kept going into Hy-Vee, going to the liquor department, loading up the cart full of liquor, and taking the cart straight outside. Repeatedly. They finally caught her, and it wasn't her fault. They called her mother because she was underage, and the mother blamed other people. Well, you don't understand. It's not her fault she stole this liquor. Repeatedly. Because people are raised and they have the idea, it seems to be the hardest thing to do to get them to admit that they did something wrong. Well, until we admit that we've done something wrong, we cannot fix it. Yes. We cannot fix it. And that is true with our relationship. When people, as a pastor, listening to people trying to pray, and you know, maybe it's a private conversation, we're trying to restore them, and to hear them try to pray and talk to God about what they did wrong, they still won't talk to God and say that they did wrong. They will blame, they will whatever else. Oh yes, I understand I killed this guy, but, and as soon as you say but, that means you will not admit that you did something wrong. Amen. And they will do everything they can but admit that they did something wrong. Of course, all of you who raised kids, whenever a child didn't do something they weren't supposed to, what is the first thing they say?
It's not my fault, or I didn't do it.
Yeah. I forgot, right?
Yeah, I forgot.
I forgot. Right, does that sound familiar? You have the people, right? I forgot. They're just not admitting that they did something wrong. They're, I forgot is an excuse. That's exactly what it is. Why didn't you read your Bible?
Well, yeah.
I forgot. How come you didn't register your vehicle? Oh, I forgot. Well, no, you knew you were supposed to. Why didn't you? I was so busy. Well, you didn't plan to obey. How about that? You know, some people said, well, I could give someone slack. Not if you turn it the other way and said, you didn't plan to obey. Mm-hmm. You didn't on purpose say, all right, this is when I'm going to get this done. I'm going to plan to obey. Well, I forgot. That means you disobeyed. Mm-hmm. You see how our culture has even taught us in our mind that we could use that as an excuse because we hear it so often. Mm-hmm. I forgot. I forgot. Why didn't you turn off the lights? Well, I forgot. Well, you say that's a small thing, but it's the small things that build up to the big things. If they won't admit small things, they will not admit big things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I forgot. It's not my fault. Someone else. And we raised into a culture that is not right with God. We do the lip service, but that window between us and God is clear. You could try to fool other people, but you can never get a hold of God and never fool God. He can look down and see your window's dirty. It's clear your window's dirty. I don't know what you're talking about. And so because of that, the prayers are hindered. And the thing is God is looking for people to do the work to clean the window. I need to take care of that sometime. Oh, I know I need to do that sometime. Then one day you're going to need to get a hold of God. And you're going to say, I can't talk to him. I can't see him. I don't know how. I don't want to. And that prayer needs to be answered right then and there. It's an emergency. And you can't get a hold of him. The first step is that we have to confess our sin. You're like, I don't understand how to do that. Well, I'm thankful that the Bible gives us clarification. Perhaps we could look at Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is David's confession when he did wrong. Remember, he committed the sin with Bathsheba. Remember that he committed murder to cover up his crimes. Remember that he sat on this for 9 months pretending he didn't do anything wrong. Finally, he was confronted, and now he is getting right with God. And I want to let you know that this is not obfuscation. This is not blaming someone else. This is confession. Notice with me Psalm 51. Psalm 51, notice as we begin this in verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from thine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Beholden, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, meaning he wants us to be honest in our inside, not just outside. And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop. By the way, as a translation, that spank me. Take the switch and spank me. David says, I know I need correction. I need this taken care of. And I shall be clean. Wash me now, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, and the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sin and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Here, David is making his confession. It is me who did this, and it's against you that I did this against. I did wrong, and I deserve it. I deserve punishment. All throughout here, God is not going to come through until we're willing to confess our own private secret sins. As we go back to Lamentations, notice with me, Lamentations chapter 43 and 44. Verse number 43, thou wast covered with anger and persecute us. Thou hast slain and not pitied. Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud that our prayer should not pass through. You asked, where did I get this idea of a glass? That right there. That my sin has covered him up as a cloud, and it will not pass through until it's clean. I need to get this clean. I need to be able to get a clear access to God, and that will come first of all when I confess my sins, when I get that glass clean, so that way there's nothing between me and him. I have free access to him, because it is my sin that keeps a distance. God doesn't keep the distance, it's me. A second thing is, we're trying to learn about confessing our sins, getting access to God so we could pray and get a hold of him, is that we must call upon God in prayer. Only after we're willing to confess our sins can we finally call out to God in prayer. God wants to show us great and mighty things, but we will never see them if we come with a dirty heart and unconfessed sin. Jeremiah is very big on speaking on this over and over about how sin keeps us from being able to talk to God. The world's in need. We must come to the place where we could say to the Lord, I have nothing to set before them. I need God. I can't do this. I need you to work. There needs to be a desperation of coming to God. Lord, if you don't answer, it's not going to happen. If you don't answer, this is going to be tragic. You've got to do this. I can't do anything. Remember, as long as we have a take it or leave it religion, we will leave it every time. Why don't people get close to God? Because they don't feel like they have to. They feel like it's a choice. Why don't people get right with God? Because they don't feel like they have to. So they don't. There's just something about us that we have so much freedom, we won't do the right thing. That we feel like we have to be forced to do it, and then we're begrudging because we were forced to do it. But God knows how to put pressure on to get us to the place where we realize we need God. And that we're better off when we get God. We need to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on depending on him, keep knocking. Lord, I need you. I need you. And I need you so much that I'm willing to get right so I can get you and what you and you alone can do. Which brings us to a third thing, a conflict of wills. Many people are familiar with what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer. It isn't a prayer that Jesus prayed, but it is a model that he gave. And it says, "My Father, which art in heaven, thy will be done." I'm going to misquote it, so let me just read it to you. Luke 11 gives this prayer for us, Luke 11. And Luke 11, it says on verse number 2, "And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us of our sins, that we may forgive everyone that's indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Notice all of this is a direct thing to God, and it says, thy will be done. What we have is a conflict of wills. In order for us to get a hold of God, we have to set aside our will, our desires, our ambitions, our goals, where we can honestly say, Lord, whatever you want to do, you do. I am no longer choosing. I'm no longer saying, well, I know you said this, but I think I have a better way. But it's saying, Lord, you know what's best, and I'm going to do what you said. It's not my will, it's not my desire, not my plan, not my obedience. It's what you want to get done. This battle of wills has to be done, and you have to lose. In order to win, you have to lose. You get the most when you finally surrender and say, God, I'm going to stop trying to do this. It's not my life anymore, it's your life. It's not my desires anymore, it's your desires. It's not my ambition anymore, it's your... If you want to truly learn how to get a hold of God and watch God work and do amazing things, we have to come with him unconfessed sin, or with no unconfessed sin. We have to be clear. We have, in order to get God, we must go to him as if he's God, the true God, and talk to him and pray with him. And then we must go to him and have his will be done. So many times we think we have a better plan and we'll talk to God and not surrender ourselves. And God wants to use us to change things. When you look in the Bible, it's amazing that in order to change someone else, God says, you've got to change. But that's not what I asked. You know, what we want is magic wands to make things better. Lord, I'm asking that you would make Governor Evers to do what's right. And we want Governor Evers to change, but not us. We want Congress to change, but not us. We want the president to change, but not us. We have this desire that we can make Uncle Billy Bob change, but I don't have to do anything. God says, no, 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 no. We're working on you. You're the person I've got on the line. Let's fix you. And as I'm fixing you, we'll work on this other stuff. But we're not willing to pay the price. We're not willing to surrender our will. We still think we have a better plan. We still think we're fine. We still think we're all right. We're still fine, whatever else. Just fix this goofball and leave me alone. We're not willing to pay the price ourselves. We're not willing to change. And God says, you're the person I'm working on. You're the person I'm trying to change. With this, we could see that God is looking for a people that can get a hold of him. A people that can worship him with clean hearts, clean hands, to be able to talk with him. But in order to do this, we first of all need to have our sin confessed. We need to be right with God. We need to have nothing between us and the Savior. We must believe that he is and worship him and be desperate for him to say that it's God and God alone that can get this done. Then he has to win the battle of wills. We got to stop fighting him, stop wrestling with him, stop getting in his way and surrender and say, God, you're right, I'm wrong. Your way, not my way. You know what's best, not me. I'm just going to step out of the way. You tell me what to do. That battle of wills must be won. In order for us to have revival, in order for us to watch God do great and amazing things, these three areas must be conquered. Our sin must be confessed. We must go to him as if he is our only choice. And we must surrender our will. He must win this battle of wills, him and him alone. Not me and my wants and my desires, my plans, my actions, my dreams. They all have to die and let God choose what's best. And when this happens, we can be a people that can get a hold of God anytime. emergencies, not emergencies. But we can go to God and we don't have to go through a process of saying, well, I need to go wash the windows and do all this stuff. There are going to be some times in your life where prayers need to be done right then and right now to be able to talk to them. I said, I don't have enough time to call the preacher. I don't have enough time to wait till the prayer meeting. I need to see answers now. They need to have this now. We need to be able to get a hold of God for ourselves. And we can, and God wants us to. Remember that the idea of Christianity is not just lip service. That is not enough. We must have a clear, clean fellowship and relationship with a God up in heaven and watch him work. If you don't mind, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And help, thank you for these reminders. Thank you for this help. And I'm asking that it would be used in our life, that we would desire to have that free access, clear access to you at any time. That we could talk to you in emergencies, not emergencies, depend upon you, watch you work. Help us to maintain that healthy fellowship with you as we do our work and our part, surrendering ourselves and letting you be God in our lives, and letting you be God in the areas affecting our lives, because you know what's best and you know better than us. Thank you, Lord, even now, and help someone get victory because of this message. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.